Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. It is great to have you here. What's going on? How was that weekend? Pretty awesome, I would imagine, for some of you, and pretty crappy for some others. Let's get at it. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, the Monday show sets up like this. Coming up next segment, we are joined by Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, former NFL offensive lineman, very good friend of the program. Ross Tucker coming up in about 15 minutes. Second hour, Gene Steratore, CBS Sports Rules Analyst, former NFL referee. He's as good as it gets, and there was more controversy over the weekend. So Gene Steratore joins me in hour number two. Top of hour three, Gonzaga head basketball coach Mark Few. In the meantime, you know where to find me. If not, here are a few options for you. Hit me up on the phones, 1-800-636-8686. You got to get through the EP, Adam Hawk, to get to me. It's not that hard. Make sure you have a take. Make sure that take doesn't suck. Elevate the conversation. Make the show better. I'll put you right to the front of the line. Also, you can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E. Haveatake.com. Lots to cover, so let's get right at it. Pretty amazing weekend, right? Hell of a weekend, wasn't it? All four playoff games decided by 8 points or less. Two of them went to overtime. Now, I know this, and let's not get it twisted. I'm not saying that they were the best played football games ever, nor were they four of the highest scoring games ever, but there were some really strong moments. Damn strong moments. Houston coming back from down double digits to win in overtime. Tennessee out-patrioting the Patriots. The Eagles being banged up. I mean, banged up to hell and still battling their asses off. And then you have Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Now, before I get into this, let me say a couple of things. Number one, Saints fans, I feel for you. For the last 3 years, you have either been jammed by the refs or had your heart ripped out by an opponent. And in this case yesterday, both of those things happened. I mean, Kyle Rudolph pretty much did get away with a push-off on that game-winning TD. He just did. Well, it obviously was not as blatant as that non-call in the conference title game last year against the Rams. To me, that was OPI. That was offensive pass interference. I mean, the guy did extend his arm, and he was able to get separation by extending his arm. That, by very definition, is pass interference, and it should have been called. That's why they put in the new rule this year, to prevent that very thing from happening on that very stage. And it happened again. And it happened to the Saints again. However, that said, that's not the reason you lost, Saints fan. But after what you've endured the past 3 years, I would imagine you do feel that way. Except me, I am more focused, way more focused on what the Vikings did to you as opposed to what the referees did to you. And here's the other thing. If you want to come in here and reset some tired old drop that Kirk Cousins said years ago when he was playing for another team, do not bother. It's been beaten into the ground. You like that? Resets are about as fresh as "Are you not entertained?" resets. And that's from a movie that came out like 20 years ago. We've had nearly two decades of that reset. And it's uninspired. It's unoriginal. It's tired. It's played. It's lazy. I'm not having it. Not on my show. Unless it is from the man himself. So what I'm saying is, I'll lift my ban on "you like that" resets, but only for one man. And one man only, and that, of course, is Cousins himself in the locker room after the game yesterday.
"That's how we've won all year, team, right? Yes, hey, you held them to 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?"
All right, so that guy right there can reset that line. He can, you can't. Because you didn't do this, he did.
Third and goal from the four. Kirk takes the snap, looks right, fade left, end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown! He knew he had Rudolph one-on-one with the corner.
Rudy!
And just threw the jump ball.
Oh,
what a beautiful throw.
Vikings radio on the call. And before Cousins did that, just as impressively, if not more so, he did this.
Madison, the tailback. Play action for Kirk from under center. Straight drop. Kirk trying to win it to Thielen. Caught at the 5. And he stopped at the 2. Cousins, Thielen, 42 on the Saints. First in goal. Vikings from the 2.
That pass to Adam Thielen was perfect. In fact, I'm not sure what was better, the pass or the catch. And to do it on the road in overtime was insane. The very definition of clutch. And it was redemption, not just for Cousins, which I'll get to in a minute, but for Thielen. He spotted the Saints 3 points with that fumble on the opening possession, but he bounced back. And he was able to bounce back because of a technique he learned in college. Thielen said, quote, "Just flush that play away. It's actually something from college. Our coaches used to make us do. Flush the bad play. We actually had a little mini toilet on the sideline, and we'd have to go over and flush it. So that's where that came from." End quote. Like, remember, Miami had the turnover chain and Minnesota State Mankato had the mini toilet. And that fumble was not the only thing that went down the drain yesterday. Because not that Cousins would be looking to do it, but he could be ramming a nice Crow Sando down everybody's throat right now if he wanted to. Instead of, "You like that?
You like that?"
He could be screaming from the rooftops, "How you like me now?" Or better yet, "Tell me how my ass tastes."
Tell me how my ass tastes.
But he's not. He's just not, because that's not how he rolls. That's never been how he rolled. He's taken heat for years, even earlier this year, and he just kept on rolling. Hell, remember, it was only September of this year that he was getting absolutely killed for how he was playing, and then he completely turned it around, both his season and Minnesota's, for everybody who ever took a run at him for not winning on the road, against good teams, in pressure situations. Hell, even the comment from Thielen himself earlier in the year that, quote, "You have to be able to hit the deep balls," end quote. Remember that? Thielen said that about him earlier this year. So Cousins took all of that on in that one play. He saw Patrick Robinson on Thielen in man coverage, and he hit that deep ball. He probably has never thrown a better ball in his career, and he did it at the best time possible, and then he did it again. Because after Dalvin Cook was stopped on 2 straight runs, that ball was in Cousins' hands on 3rd down from the 4-yard line facing a 0 blitz. Alvin, if you don't mind, roll it again.
Kirk takes the snap, looks right, fade left, end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown!
Yes, Saints fans, it certainly did look like offensive pass interference. And not only was there no flag on that play, but it was reviewed so quickly, many of the Saints themselves, in fact, thought that the officials didn't even bother to review it. But it was. And it was league senior VP of officiating, Al Riveron, who was there with an explanation after the game. Quote, "There is contact by both players, but none of that contact rises to the level of a foul. This is consistent with what we've done all year long. We left the ruling on the field. We let it stand." End quote. So yes, the Saints are getting jammed again. I would say the breaks all even out, but they sure don't seem to with the Saints, right? Last year against the Rams, this year with Rudolph. And there was that blatant hold in overtime. And the fumble return. It was taken off the board, even though that should have been taken off the board, but it still hurts. In fact, it all does, because this Saints team had everything you need to make a Super Bowl run, and they didn't even get out of the first weekend. Man, that's got to hurt like hell. And the Saints know it. Because hearing the players after the game, it seemed like the thing that pissed them off the most was not the lack of pass interference. Not even the whack overtime rules that means if you give up a TD on the opening drive of overtime, that game is over without both teams getting to touch the ball. Nope. The Saints were pissed that they did not play their best game when it was needed. That the Vikings did not get their best shot. That they didn't play their best when they had to, but the Vikings did. I mean, one thing before I go to break, keep this in mind. That was a Vikings team that nobody was giving any chance to. an 8-point underdog who fumbled away the first possession of the game. They were down 10-3 in the second quarter. Most thought they were done. The narrative had already been etched in stone that Kirk Cousins could not get it done on the big stage, that Mike Zimmer, with a one and done, might even be on the way out. Turns out they didn't get that memo because they turned it on and they scored 17 unanswered. Dalvin Cook looked especially sharp and fresh, especially in that first half. The Vikings D-line was causing Drew Brees serious problems. And when it mattered most, it was the most maligned quarterback who stepped up with a bomb and then a walk-off TD, not the Hall of Famer. And yes, everyone in purple likes that. Cousins had to have it. He got it. And that was an enormous statement for both him and the organization. And to me, that one's going to stick to the Saints for a long time. Because again, all the pieces were in place for a Super Bowl run. And now it's over before it even started. And they can kill the officials all they want. But when they look in the mirror this morning, if they own it, they'll know the Vikings did not get their best shot. And that more than anything else, that's the reason the Saints lost, not the refs.
I got three words for you. You like that? Yeah!
It's a great moment for him. Great moment for them. Great win for the Vikings. 1-800-636-8686. Lots of other things to get to. Breaking news, Tua is turning pro and entering the NFL draft. He right now is having a presser. That's live. That just in. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Also, the Cowboys have a new head coach. Something else I've got to say coming out of the weekend. Not only you like that, but how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! One thing to name a new head coach, entirely another to name that head coach the way they named that head coach. The most Jerry Jones thing ever. I will get into that. Patriots knocked out by one of their own. How about the Titans? How about Mike Vrabel? Bills Mafia, what's up, man? How you feeling? Like crap is probably the answer. 16-0 lead evaporates. We'll get into that and much more. Telephone number is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Quick reaction before I go to break. This email reads, Dear Romy, I can't believe Tua would rather get paid millions in the NFL than play for free at Alabama. What an idiot. Signed, Ross, quitting the XR4TI. Not exactly the same thing. Casey, New Hampshire, warn me going pro is an emailer. Dear Rome, Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy is a big swing. Signed, going from a white Toyota Camry to a tan Toyota Camry. Steve in Phoenix, wore Tom Brady finishing out his career as a backup Dolphins quarterback. You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the Patriots soap opera. I prefer, at least right now in this moment, to give the Titans the respect and the credit that they earned and they deserve. But what about TB12? Was that his last game in a Patriot uniform? And if so, can you imagine that guy going out the way he did with a pick six to end the game? All that coming up. But when we come back, Ross Tucker joins me. That's next. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
All right, welcome back. Once again, telephone number is toll-free. It is open. It is yours, 1-800-636-8686. And I will get those phone calls in, but first things first, we are joined by a former NFL player. Played 7 years in the league. He is an NFL analyst. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is co-host of Home and Home. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Good friend of the program. Ross, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm fantastic, man. I am basking in the glow of one of the best weekends of football we've ever had. I know there's a lot of topics to get to and some controversy, et cetera, but man, I mean, all four one-score games, two overtime games, three road teams win, including the biggest underdog. It was awesome.
Russ, you just set the table for me perfectly. All right, so you were in Philadelphia last night on the sideline for the Seahawks-Eagles. What did you make? Why don't we start right there? What did you make of Seattle and the way they showed up on the road and they handled their business?
Well, Russell Wilson is remarkable. And I said this for a while now, Jim, and I wrote about it in a column a couple weeks ago. I think he is basically the NFL prototype at this point, which is crazy when you consider that he was the outlier in the 2012 draft, and that's why he didn't go until the third round. But you look at everything he has done on and off the field since then. He's never missed a game. Some of the throws and plays he made last night, again, absolutely remarkable. The way he conducts himself, it's crazy. You know, look, I'm not saying it'd be a bad thing if he was 3 inches taller or whatever, but I just think he's the best quarterback in the NFL, and if I could only have one quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years, it's him. I mean, he is – I don't think they have a ton around him, Jim. I really don't. I think it's primarily him, and because of him, they have a chance in every game they play in.
We're talking to Ross Tucker. Ross, I don't disagree with any of that. I wonder if he were 3 inches taller, if he'd be that much better or not. I mean, based on the way he approaches it, his mentality, that chip on the shoulder, I'm not sure he would be, but I understand your point. Listen, you've been around this Eagles team all season long. They've been battling injuries like crazy, and it happened again, Ross, last night when Carson Wentz went out after that hit to the head. What went through your mind when you saw him heading to the locker room?
Well, it was weird because I was on the Seahawks sideline when he got hit. So I did not know he was hurt until he started walking into the locker room. And I saw that and I sprinted over there to find out what was going on. And then they had told me, you know, that he had kind of gotten up slow after the hit from Clowney. And I think I had two thoughts, Jim, you know, doing the preseason games for the Eagles and the Eagles pregame all year. You know, I know him pretty well. I really felt bad for him. I mean, the whole conversation all offseason was whether or not he could stay healthy. And he did it all year, played his best football over the last month of the season, was able to bring what I was calling the practice squad posse or the Broad Street backups all the way to the playoffs. It was remarkable. And I wanted him to have this opportunity. I wanted him to show what he could do on that stage and not get hurt again and have that narrative of him getting hurt. So I felt really poorly for him, but I also kind of felt like we all got cheated. You know, Jim, like I left the game very dissatisfied, and the Seahawks might have won anyway. You never know how the game unfolds. I'm very confident the Eagles would have scored more points because Wentz was so good in the red zone all year that there's no way they settled for three field goals and on two fourth downs. They don't get it. They would have scored more points. And maybe the Seahawks maybe win, but I think we all kind of got gypped out of being able to see what Wentz and this team of practice squad guys could do in the playoffs. It left a bad taste in my mouth, and not necessarily because of the Clowney hit, as much as just not being able to see what Wentz was going to be able to get done.
Ross Tucker back in the jungle doing his thing. Hey, Ross, what about that hit? Jadeveon Clowney said after the game that he might get death threats for the hit on Wentz. Also said the people who come to Eagles games, Ross, are, quote, the worst fans in the world, end quote. What's your reaction to that comment?
Well, first of all, the hit itself, I thought it should have been penalized. I don't go so far as to say dirty or cheap shot. I mean, you know, Jim, we've talked about this before. I played on the edge. I played very borderline. So I'm the last guy that's going to be saying something was dirty or a cheap shot. But I do think it deserved to be flagged. I mean, even if you're saying he's a runner, they typically still afford quarterbacks more protection. And I don't know how you don't throw a flag for that. But the point I would make on that is, okay, you throw the flag. I mean, it's not bringing Wentz back. No, it's not like it changes the game. Wentz staying in the game changes the game, but adding 15 yards to Clowney does not. As for the death threats thing, I mean, evidently he's already got them, so I guess he was right in that regard. As for the worst fans, it's really very simple. If you are someone that I would say is foolish enough to wear opposing team gear in Philadelphia, it's probably not going to be that pleasant of an experience. I mean, I'm from Reading, Jim, which is an hour west of Philly. I played at Veterans Stadium as a rookie with the Redskins. I told my mom, my dad, my sister, my girlfriend, and my father-in-law don't even think about wearing Redskins gear. Like, don't be stupid. And they knew better because they're all from there, too. You don't do that. Is that the way it should be, Jim? Probably not. It's probably not a positive that that's how they treat people. But it's a fact, so don't wear that stuff. And I'll say this on the flip side, they are the best fans. They are extremists. If you're on the other team or you don't play hard or whatever and you're on one of their teams, they're probably the worst fans around. If they love you, if you're Brian Dawkins, if you're Zach Ertz, heck, me even just doing the preseason games, if they love you, there is no better place to be. They are both the best and the worst fans, depending on whether or not they like you or not.
Ross Tucker joining us back in the jungle. All right, Ross, let me keep it right there in the division. During the Eagles game, the Cowboys announced they're moving on from Jason Garrett. So what do you make of Jerry Jones timing that announcement for the middle of the Eagles game?
A little bizarre. You know, he has stated publicly many times that any publicity is good publicity. But what's even more bizarre to me, Jim, with the hiring of Mike McCarthy, is that it's pretty clear that he literally was holding on to Jason Garrett until he was sure he had somebody better. I mean, it was like, you know, you're in high school and, you know, you see this other girl and you like her and you kind of want to date her, but you don't want to dump your current girlfriend unless you know that other girl is going to like you. You know what I mean?
Sure. Right.
So that's exactly what Jerry Jones did. He didn't want to dump Garrett until he knew that McCarthy would like him and that he could start dating McCarthy. And as soon as McCarthy was like, okay, I'm in, he was like, all right, see you later, Jason Garrett. So the timing of it, let's put it this way. It's not exactly a classy way to go about it, whether you're me in high school or Jerry Jones trying to get an NFL head coach.
No, that's not classy at all, by the way. So, Ross, where do you come out? Is McCarthy better? How much better? How do you like that fit?
I like starting with the track record that he has of being a Super Bowl championship winning head coach and being a guy with sustained success. What concerns me, Jim, on the flip side is, I don't know how long he was in Green Bay, 13 years, 14 years. He had a top five quarterback the whole time. I mean, he had Brett Favre for a few years when Favre was still playing well. Then he had Aaron Rodgers the whole time. He had a top five quarterback the whole time and went to one Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's impressive or not. I'd say probably not. I'd say you should probably at least get to another Super Bowl in that stretch of having 13 years with a top five quarterback. Plus, it got bad at the end. And now look at him. I mean, the Packers without him are 13-3. Now, in fairness to him, when he was there, Ted Thompson was the GM, never signed anybody. Now, they lose McCarthy. They get a new GM in. They sign Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, who are out there killing dudes, and a big reason why the Packers are 13-3. So you can go both ways on this. I would say it's pretty hard to kill a hire when the guy starts with being able to say he's a Super Bowl winning head coach.
Talking to Ross Tucker for another moment or so, but to your point, Ross, I wonder if that's not enough considering where he was and who he had. But before I let you go, as a former teammate of Tom Brady's in New England, do you think that that final pass was his final pass as a Patriot? How do you think that plays out?
I do not think it was. But I think it comes entirely down to Bill Belichick. How much does Bill Belichick want Brady back? And how important is the contract to Bill Belichick? Look, he's not sentimental. He wants to move on. All the reports indicate he wasn't happy that he was more or less forced to trade Garoppolo. Does he give Kraft an ultimatum? Does he say, hey, look, Robert, I did this once, but I'm not paying Tom a 2 or 3 year deal worth $30 million a year. We can have our best chance for sustained success moving forward is Jarrett Stidham on a rookie contract and being able to build around him rather than paying Tom, who's not the guy he used to be. I know that everybody's saying it's up to Tom. I really don't think it is. I think it's up to Belichick. If Belichick says he wants Brady back and he's willing to pay him what he wants, I think Brady comes back. But if Brady feels disrespected and doesn't feel like Belichick really wants him back, or they try to lowball him on the contract again, I think Brady's going to say, you know what, I'm sick of it. All the discounts I gave you, and you guys are going to lowball me again, I'm out of here.
I can't help but wonder or think that is pretty much what's going to happen. Hey, Ross, one last thought. What were you thinking as Mike Vrabel went with the back-to-back penalties to eat time off the clock in the fourth quarter?
I was laughing because Vrabel and I were teammates in New England, and Belichick seemed so upset about it, so angry about it, yet that's exactly what Belichick would do if he were in that situation. My initial thought, Jim, was I don't love that they're punting it here and giving it back to Brady rather than going for it. And then I thought, okay, I like the idea to shorten the game and take the time off the clock, but what if Brady marches for a field goal right here, and then you actually shorted yourself the chance and the time? Ultimately, it worked out. And I was mainly laughing because I know Vrabel and the way he is, and he loved nothing more, I can promise you, Jim, than being able to be in that locker room after the game and knowing that he out-Belichicked Belichick. He was laughing, he was having a beer, and he was having the time of his life.
And he should, because that was funny, and that's exactly what he did. And to your point, Ross, not only would Belichick do that, Belichick has done that. So that if you learned it from anybody, it's from that guy himself. 7 years in the NFL, an NFL analyst now, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, co-host of Home and Home, and be sure you follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, great job. Good to have you back. Always good to have you on the show.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Great job, Russ. As always, Ross Tucker. Man, he is everywhere. He is killing it. All right, so your thoughts on what you just heard. I mean, there are so many different ways to go with it, but as it relates to the Patriots, I mentioned last segment, I'm not going to spend a ton of time right now, at least not right now, on the drama and the soap opera as it involves the Patriots. I want to give credit to the Titans. They earned it. They went in there. They played a better game. They were the better team. There was nothing fluky about that. They deserve to advance. That said, I happen to agree with Ross. I don't think it's Tom Brady's decision. And I don't even think it's Bob Kraft's this time. I think it is Bill Belichick. And if Brady is saying, hey, listen, I have left so much money on the table so we can keep this dynasty going, so you can sign other players, you're not getting a hometown discount out of me, not now. Do you really think that Belichick is going to be sentimental and nostalgic and give him a Kobe Bryant-type deal like the Lakers did? I mean, no chance. You think at 42 he's going to get that deal? I don't see it. And I can also see where Brady says, you know what, it's not worth it. I don't need this. I've done it so many times. I'm going someplace else. So if he does leave, where does he go? Maybe right here in L.A. We know he's a California native. We know he's not going to the Niners. So where would Tom Brady go? Maybe here in L.A. All right, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, I want to give you my thoughts on the Cowboys. I'm going to go further than even Ross did there. Man, the fact that Jerry Jones made that announcement during his arch rival's game in the postseason, it's like the most Jerry thing ever. There's no quinky dink in that. He knew what he was doing. And then we'll talk about Mike McCarthy. Not exactly the most inspired hire. Not the worst thing, but not all that inspired either. So all that's coming up. And if you want to hit me up on the phones, do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. We are open for the next hour. Here is your bottom of the hour sports up.
Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is always an Ask the Pros day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So what you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question right there. I will answer one of them later on. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, really quickly, snap reaction to... What's up, Adam? I don't know if you know this, but yesterday was National Bird Day. I saw that. I didn't see you yesterday, but I did see that. So a quick snap reaction to Tua declaring for the draft. To me, that's the right move. That's the right move for him. I'm not exactly sure where he is in terms of his hip and recovery, but that decision is the smart decision. Better to get out now. start making money, hopefully get to the second contract a year earlier than if he had gone back to school. I don't see any reason to go back to school at this point. I think that's the right move. That makes sense to me. 1-800-636-8686. Does it make sense to you? Is he doing the right thing? Rome, I did not see any push-off whatsoever. Kyle Rudolph played that perfectly. Your Ernest MJ. The officials thought so. There was not a flag on the play, and they reviewed it, but they reviewed it so fast that the Saints didn't even think it was reviewed. Again, to me, he got away with a push-off. That's not why they lost, but that's not going to make it any easier for Saints fan. And I can imagine where Saints fan thinks that is the reason they lost. It's not, but I can see where you feel that way after the past few years. Dear Jim, after my team's elimination from the playoffs, a lot of people are wondering what a 42-year-old star representative of a football team in the Northeast will do now. I would consider broadcasting, but honestly, I have a horrible voice and absolutely no wit, humor, or spontaneity. Defeatedly yours, Rick in Buffalo. I see what you did there, Denlesks. You had me going there, Denlesks. Signed, Denlesks, Bills, Mafia, Infiltrator. I'll get to the Bills a little bit later on, but I think for the entire world got the entire Josh Allen experience, didn't they? Man, when he was good, he was unbelievable. And when he wasn't, he wasn't. Dear Jim, you can be sure I'll be campaigning in the offseason for the Rules Committee to give me 4 timeouts a half and a guaranteed possession of the ball in overtime. Surely it's not my fault I lost at home as an 8-point favorite. Cryingly yours, Sean Payton. Brian in Charlotte. Warm mutt in L.A. Clearing the sewage lines at the Golden Globes after Lee Alardo DiCaprio clogged up the toilet.
Holla at your boy. You know where to find me. Down on my knees, neck deep in some toilet I'm having to unclog because some Delta Bravo frat boy jammed a big old turd in the pipes.
I did not watch the Golden Globes. I did not see it last night. In fact, I've only seen about half that movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, it is like 9 hours long. I just kind of watch it like 20 minutes at a time before I go to bed. Yeah, I think I'll throw that on for another 20 minutes. 1-800-636-8686. All right, the thing about that take about Sean Payton, that he's going to campaign in the offseason to the Rules Committee to get four timeouts a half and guaranteed possession of ball in overtime. Again, I'm not saying that's why they lost, but the overtime rules are really lame. Again, that both teams don't get a chance to possess the ball if the first team, the receiving team, goes right down the field and scores a TD. I mean, it's whack. It's just wrong. It's not why they lost. I'm not making an excuse. But those rules are whack. No matter how that game ended, those rules are whack.
That's whack.
Right, Dell? Dell Harris
That's
knows.
Whack.
We
That's
all know.
Whack. That's whack.
1-800-636-8686. My thoughts on the Cowboys coming up momentarily. Also, the Texans. Man, things did not look good for them, right? And then Deshaun Watson remembered he was Deshaun Watson and then started doing Deshaun Watson things. Seahawks advance. And Mike Vrabel. Man, how sweet must that have been for him to go in there and knock out the Patriots and to out-Belichick Belichick, to out-Patriot the Patriots? I mean, how hilarious was that? Penalty, penalty, penalty. And Belichick just losing his mind. I mean, again, not only would Belichick do something like that, Belichick has done something like that. Where do you think Vrabel learned it? And on top of all of that, there is one topic off the board that I'm going to do my very best not to get to, that some of you already know about. And I'm kind of conflicted. You know, like, it's a national show, so I'm trying to think of transcendent topics things that will appeal to a lot of people in a lot of different states because this show is carried in every state. So I got to be careful about that. I can't get too local with it. I can't get too regional with it. But all of that said, there are certain markets that are really important to me. Like every single market that carries this show is really important to me. But if I'm being real and I'm being transparent, there are certain markets that have been with me for so long that when something goes down in one of those markets, you're not going to pay attention. And in fact, I feel like I've got some equity. And there's something weird going on in the great state of Arizona. And I've got a lot of listeners in Arizona. We've had appearances in Arizona. We've had multiple tour stops in Arizona. And I'm talking about a serial crime that's taking place. According to police, last year, over 300,000 incidents of graffiti were reported in Tempe alone. It's a lot of tagging going on. Ordinarily, again, that would not ding my radar. I mean, I'm from Los Angeles. I've seen a lot of graffiti in my time. The difference here is a certain tag has gone up over 40 times in the last month. A certain objectionable tag. A certain reprehensible tag. A certain tag involving a guy who's glossed himself Penis Man.
Penis Man.
Penis.
Penis Man.
Penis.
Penis Man.
Anyway, I'm trying not to go there, but I am worried about my friends. I'm worried about my listeners, people I consider family in Arizona. This guy's got to be stopped. Also, authorities want to make sure that everybody knows that this guy doesn't necessarily have to be stopped because it might be a woman. I'm here to tell you it's not a woman. I know that already. Let's go ahead and eliminate half the population that you're looking at. Anyway, I'm going to do my very best not to get there. I just want to give you a heads up that I am conflicted and I'm worried about my Arizona fam. I really am. Especially if you're listening on 1580 The Fanatic. So I've got your back. I want to make it better, not worse. So I'm conflicted and I'm asking myself, is it going to make it better to talk about it? Am I going to help or am I going to make it worse? Am I going to give the so-called Penis Man exactly what he wants? Because I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that. Keep all that in mind. Next hour, my man, Gene Steratore, CBS Sports Rules Analyst. There's a lot of guys doing that right now, but nobody's doing it better than Gino. And there was more controversy over the weekend. As much as we try to get away from it, the refs are still very much part of the conversation. As I said last week, can we get through one game? Can we get through one game on any level? Any level that does not involve some sort of controversy and the referees? Obviously, guys like Gene Steratore would not have jobs like they do if there wasn't always a controversy. And it's not just CBS. Every major network covering sports has got a guy like that now. Now, nobody has a better guy than Gene Steratore, but that's how big of an issue that is. Also, coming up in hour number three, Gonzaga head basketball coach Mark Few. When we come back to start hour two, I'm going to talk about the Cowboys. How they handle that hiring, how they handle their firing, the guy they ended up with, what's it all mean? Is any of it surprising? I'll start hour number two that way. Yeah, we're into 2020 now. We had that short week last week, kind of a weird week. We are back. This is day one, really. So step up. How about a golden ticket giveaway to start 2020? That'd be pretty cool. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two next.